Football is back, and so is the Ringer NFL show. Coming at you 5 days a week with wall-to-wall coverage from recapping the Sunday games, giving a player perspective, deep dives, and previewing the coming slate. Check out the Ringer NFL show on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Für alle ein Fest zum Aldi-Tiefpreis. Diese Woche Funny Frisch Chips Frisch. 150 Gramm für nur 88 Cent. Oder Langnese Cremissimo. Ab 825 Milliliter für nur 1,49 €. Aldi. Gutes für alle.
We're also brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook and the Ringer Podcast Network, where we launched The Full Go with Jason Goff, our second local sports podcast. First one is New York, New York with John Jastrzemski, which ironically, I appeared on Sunday after the Pats-Jets game. We talked about whether the Jets fans should give up on Zach Wilson already. We talked about the AL East and how much I hate the Yankees. If you want Homer Bill Simmons, I would go over to the New York podcast, because you're going to get it over there. Just Boston sports for 25 minutes and me making fun of the Yankees. So you have that. Speaking of podcasts and speaking of me popping on other feeds, we are relaunching one of our TV feeds. I think it's the Recapables, but we are relaunching it as the Ringer's Prestige TV podcast, because we realized during White Lotus that we just didn't have a spot to talk about some of these great shows, and especially this fall when we have a whole bunch of good ones coming up and polarizing ones and shows like The Morning Show, which is where Amanda Dobbins and I are going to talk about it on Monday. So check out the Ringer's Twitter feed or just search for Ringer Prestige TV Pod. I think we're just calling it the Prestige TV Pod. I can't remember. But me and Amanda Dobbins on Monday are going to be talking about The Morning Show, Season 2. Episode 1, which is one of the most bizarre shows, I think, of the last 10 years. I don't know if I like it, if I hate it, if I'm hate watching it, if I'm like kind of pretending to hate watch it, but I actually like it. It is just really confusing. It really is. But I do enjoy it and look forward to it. So whatever that means, we'll be talking about it on the Prestige TV Pod. And we have a whole bunch more coming on that one over the next couple of weeks, including a lot of Succession stuff. So be ready for that. Go search for that. The Prestige TV Podcast coming up. The Cuz and myself are going to break down a rollicking week 2, where money was lost and won and seemingly lost and then won and then lost. And oh yeah, it's all next. First, our friends from Pearl Jam. All right, taping this, it is 9 o'clock Pacific time. Cousin Sal is here. We just watched Chiefs-Ravens. The Chiefs just decided, yeah, we're not really that interested in winning this game. And the Ravens were like, not only will we take it, we're going to take it convincingly. We're going to change the narratives about ourselves. But Sal, I'm going to go backwards.
Chiefs, I'm stunned, by the way. I'm stunned by this result based on most of what we saw. Like, I guess we should be surprised by every Chiefs loss, right? Because it does seem like, you say, they could just win whenever they want, right? And then they don't win. It's like, oh, what the hell just happened?
Yeah, to paraphrase Norm MacDonald, they were the chairman of the board. They they were up 11 after the interception at midfield. The game's over. The Ravens haven't stopped them the whole game. They do this terrible shotgun draw to Williams. They lose 5. Now, another play. Now it's 3rd and 12. And Mahomes does, you know, the Carson Wentz, I'm falling down on the sack, I'm just going to throw it in the air. Mm-hmm. Even if he just takes a sack, they're punting. The Ravens would have had to put together 2 long 15-play drives. Ravens give away 2 extra points. Yep. Chiefs still get the ball back with 3 minutes left. Still look bored. Just kind of methodically go down the field. 2nd and 3. They're setting up Butker. And then they hand off to Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who has not looked good the entire time they've had him. And I have no idea why he's the guy you would give the ball to there. He gets it poked out really easily. And then they can't get a stop. And Harbaugh straps it on 4th and 1. the old Belichick Colts play that started the advanced metrics store war, like, I don't know, 12 years ago. Such a great win for the Ravens. And if I'm the Chiefs, I'm like, we know we could have won.
Yeah. Right. You figure that. And what, like Denver and Oakland are 1-1 atop the division. And I don't think they're scared of either of those teams right now. I said Oakland. I mean, Las Vegas, but
they're 2-0.
2-0, right, atop the, right. They're tied. I'm sorry. 2-0 tied atop the division. And yeah, I thought it was weird because they're, first of all, I had a problem with Lamar like doing a like a flop into the end zone to go ahead by one. Like you still have to make the 2-point conversion to make this a field goal game. And of course they didn't. So it's a 1-point game with 3:18 left. And then the Chiefs get basically to midfield on one pass, right? Over the middle. And now it's like they have to kill the clock. So you could throw 3-yard passes to Kelce, which is probably what they should do to get into field goal range, because that guy's really not going to fumble. It was a great play by the rookie for the Ravens to jar that ball loose from Clyde Edwards-Helaire. That I was surprised to learn that was his first fumble. I thought he coughed a couple up last year. But even so, like you said, like Harbaugh's getting a lot of credit, but I think you absolutely have to go for it on 4th and 1.5. Like you're not stopping them 3 times in a row, right? Like that was serendipity at that point. If you have Lamar Jackson and 1.5 yards to go, you have about 6 or 7 plays you could use to convert there. So while he gets credit, I would have, if he punted that ball, I would have said that this is insane. He should lose his job along with his brother.
Yeah, because the Chiefs would have had the ball with like 1 minute left. They easily would have gone down. They would have gotten their 40 yards and Bucker would have made like 51-yarder to win it. And we all would have been like, why did the Ravens go for it? It's funny. I took a tour on Twitter and regretted it because everybody's like, oh, Ravens, Harbaugh, they went for it. It's so great. And it's like that everyone's showing the clip of Harbaugh going, Lamar, you want to go for it? What's Lamar going to say? Like, no, we should punt this. Yeah, I don't want to go for it. Let's not. Let's
you know
not.
What?
I take the ball out of my hands.
I tweaked my shoulder doing that backflip as somersault into the end zone. Maybe let's punt this. We'll get lucky in overtime. Maybe. Oh no, there's no overtime.
Go ask your kids right now. Hey kids, you want to get some ice cream? Like, no, we're good. We're good.
Right.
Like, of course Lamar was going to go for it, and of course the Chiefs weren't going to stop. They didn't stop ball game. To me, this was a game of two teams that were doing something that the other team simply couldn't stop. And anytime they got into trouble, it was because they did something else other than the thing the team couldn't stop. Like the Ravens had terrible picks. Anytime they threw the ball, the Chiefs were like, thank God. Mm-hmm. Anytime they rambled the ball, the Chiefs couldn't stop it. And conversely with the Chiefs, anytime they just spread the field and didn't run, the Ravens couldn't stop them. They were double teaming Tyreek the whole game. They took him out. So Kelce's wide open. Pringle was wide open. Robinson's wide open. I mean, it's a stupid week two game.
It really is. And so then you think about it, it's like, all right, both these teams are tough outs, right? So I don't know why we're looking ahead, but if I'm trying to like narrow it down to the final four in the AFC, why it would be any different from last year. I don't know that it would be, but I don't even know if you could fix this, but the Chiefs defense is just always going to be a sieve like this, right? I don't know that they should always give up 251 yards rushing. Many of those came in the first half, even when they had the lead. But I just think this is the team, right? And they're going to be in every game. And, you could do this last team with the ball wins kind of thing, but they'll win like 13 games this year. I have no doubt.
I don't like that they can't really run the ball. Like even on 2nd and 3, they lined up like they were going to run it. And I didn't feel good about the play before the fumble. And he would have been tackled even if he didn't fumble. It would have been 3rd and 3. It just to spend a first round pick on a running back who then doesn't solve your running back, whatever issues you had, wasn't great. But
Mahomes usually goes for a 15, 20 yard, a big run that, to move.
That's
the
thing. 2nd and 3, roll him out. Roll him out to the side and do whatever. I just thought it was a really lazy game from the Chiefs. And it's the reason we like watching the Chiefs. They have an arrogance to them now. They just feel like they could score anytime they wanted.
Yeah.
The Ravens went up by a point at the end. They cut to Mahomes on the sidelines. It looked like he was getting like a manicure. Like, do we have to go? I didn't realize the car was outside. All right, I'll tell the lady to wrap up. Yeah. He just kind of waltzes out. And as you said, immediately gets like the 25-yard pass to start the drive. But so I didn't learn that much about the Chiefs. I do feel like people are going to overreact to the Chiefs' run defense, which is terrible. Mm. But they did go against the Browns and the Ravens. Aren't those like the two teams you don't want to go against if you have a terrible run defense?
Yeah, exactly. Those are
like as the season goes along, it'll probably be a little bit better for them.
It usually does right itself. And we're going to talk about a lot of these. And the Chiefs are the prime example of this. But I feel like, I don't think it's like this every year. Aren't there like 8 offenses you love to watch right now, but you're skittish about betting any of them? Because that's how I feel right now.
Like, well, I'll tell you this. I lost on a Chiefs-Pats parlay, but I'm not going to whine about it because I won even more on a ridiculous Pats-Cardinals.
You did call.
No business winning on that game where the Vikings kicker, who's been lights out, just decides to miss a 37-yarder.
The announcer still thinks he made it from Minnesota. Yeah.
Is that true?
Oh, you have to hear the clip. He's like, it's up, it's good. Joseph does it. They went, what? No good. It's no good.
And then he immediately got fired. Yeah, the offenses look pretty good. And I think, last year we didn't have a preseason. We barely had a training camp. Everything looked so choppy. It seems like the offenses look good. The tackling's terrible across the board.
Yeah, right.
And it's like, because we barely had practices, people are barely hitting each other. And I think it seems like the offenses are ahead of the defenses, which was why, not to jump ahead to your stupid team with the Chargers, but that game had 37 points and there was one punt. And it felt like that game should have been, 45-42? And yet both teams were just shooting themselves in the foot and then giving the gun to the other team. Now you shoot yourself in the foot.
Right. Yeah. After all the years of the Chargers getting 450 yards passing and losing. And now we're in a whole different ball game with this team.
Yeah. I'll tell you my big takeaway from week two. We knew there was going to be some weirdness. We knew there was a bunch of overreactions from last week, but I just don't think there's a really good team. I think there's a lot of teams that do certain things well. And I think the Chiefs, their ability to move the ball is probably the best of what everybody else can do.
Mm-hmm.
But there's not a complete team. There's certainly not a complete team in the AFC. I don't think there's a complete team really in the NFC. Tampa's probably the closest, but we saw two straight weeks of them just being completely unable to protect the lead. And Atlanta, that game was 28-25. And then Matt Ryan's like, fine. You guys, let's give it to you guys.
They can't even cover the damn spread. They're down 3 in the fourth. No. Like Tampa's like, no, let's put up 20. I was so mad. Stupid team. Yeah, no, I think you're right. San Francisco's the one team. I know what you're saying. They might be a team that does both, right? They might play good defense, but they haven't played. They played Detroit. And they played Philadelphia, who I liked after last week. But now we're seeing the Eagles team step up. And I guess they did give up a lot of passing yards to Goff in the second half last week. But I would take a look at San Francisco. That's not a team I'd want to play right now. They seem to have it mostly together.
Yeah, I made a list of what impressed me this week. And San Francisco was the first one because I watched a lot of that game. I had the Eagles +3 for $1 million picks. I had a little of it in real life too. And it was one of those games, the Eagles should have been up 10-0, 13-0. They had all these cracks inside the 10. They couldn't, for whatever reason, couldn't stay out of their own way. And the Niners then just took the game.
Yeah.
And really for the second half and a little of the end of the first half, they just completely dominated them. And I think the Eagles are actually pretty good. And San Francisco, if Jimmy G had played better, I don't think that game would have been close. And they were down, how many running backs have they lost this year? At least 3?
Yeah.
Didn't seem to matter. They just put in the next guy and he's fine, but I agree with that. I think the Niners look maybe the most complete, but they're going to have to figure out the Lance Jimmy thing, I think.
Can we, if there's one narrative I'd like to get rid of, and I don't even know if this was ever a thing, but the West Coast team going east. And I was like, I used to salivate when I see that. I'm like, my God, going east, Eagles getting points, but it just does not seem to bear fruit anymore. These guys are getting rest. They're figuring out a way to rest on these private flights, right? Or these basically, they're probably sleeping on the flights. It just occurred to me. So I'm not as enthralled with that.
Yeah,
that
I wonder if the bells and whistles have just gotten so much better for these teams. Like they could just be like, hey, we're on East Coast time, go into this cryo chamber for 3 minutes.
Right.
And then they go in or use this infrared sauna and then everybody's fine.
That's it.
There's snap ways to equalize. I didn't tell you this. My daughter, she injured her back, so she's been doing some cryotherapy. No, it's not bad. It's she just has whatever, but she's been doing cryotherapy. So I went with her and she's like, Dad, do it. And I went in for 2 minutes and I came out and I felt 12 years younger.
What the hell is it? First of all, is it
you just freezing? Go in and it's like minus. Yeah. You go in, they play music. And the first time I did 2 minutes, second time I did 2.5, and then the third time I did 2:45.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just freezing. But then you come out and it's like, I had a right knee that was bothering me and it was fine. But it made me think
really?
These guys must have so many different things they do that nullify all of these old advantages that these teams used to have for like, oh, we got the West Coast team coming this week. Mm-hmm. It's just that those days are over, it feels like.
Yeah, I think you're right. Do you submit after 2 minutes, 45 seconds, or there's a countdown and like you're done when it's...
No, you tell them ahead of time.
You do?
Yeah. So there's some people that do the full three and they just walk out and that like nothing happened. I come out like I've just been shot by an assassin.
Right. Yeah.
You know, it's so you're so cold and we're old.
I know, but that's what I would be like. Wait, where? Look at my watch here. When is this ending? Yeah.
So so the Niners, I thought they're the Lance thing. If they get something from him this year, that's the upside because Jimmy G feels a little caretakery to me at this point. I didn't think he was good in that game. Tennessee's big comeback was another one that really impressed me. And it really impressed you because your entire fantasy season is tied to Derrick Henry. You beat me in our keeper league. He had like 48 points.
You
or
were up like 25 points on me. I was like, I think you were like a 68-32 favorite percentage wise. But no. What a second half. Talk about cryo. I don't know what that guy's doing. 680 carries in 2 years, something crazy.
And yeah, he's demolishing that curse of 370. He's just took a shit on it.
He's a unicorn. He really is. He's and like I pointed out, it's 75 degrees. This is when it's supposed to be easy to tackle him. But I think you're right. I think just the tackling around the league, it just sucks.
Yeah, you know what the Derrick Henry thing? Usually when teams come back, they throw the ball. Tennessee came back by like doubling down on the stuff they're good at, which is basically running the ball play action. And just put some drives together.
Well, they threw some screens to him over the middle and they saw him breaking tackles. And they're like, all right, let him just have the ball however he wants.
Let him cook.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was a weird game because Lockett broke a long one. Number 18 on the Seahawks. I can't remember what his name is, but he broke a long one. But it still doesn't feel like that Seahawks team, like to not take care of that one at home.
Yeah.
With the quote unquote 12th man makes me a little suspicious of them. I know it's early. I know it's only week two, but that's like, if you're a really good team, that game should be over. I feel like, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, it should be over when, was it Lockett who was open by like 25 yards? Like I think like Tennessee's good for one of those. That's why they're never guaranteed a win. I don't care who they're playing, because you could get that 7 right back because there's going to be a faulty cover. Something's going to, with all these guys they signed, it didn't seem to matter today. But and then they grinded them out. Like Tannehill didn't do anything, right? Did he even throw a touchdown pass?
I don't know.
He actually did, but Julio Jones, that was called back for whatever reason.
Well, Julio caught one, and then the second one, it seemed like he caught. One.
Right.
And then they decided to overrule it, which was bizarre.
That was
Yeah, so I left halftime in that game. I was ready to have the whole who the fuck is going to win the AFC South conversation with you. But it's probably Tennessee.
Yeah.
Wentz is already hurt. That was another pretty shaky Wentz game.
That was I never liked that trade. To begin with, right?
Yeah.
He re-injured that one. Yeah, he rolled that bad. I don't know if he comes back. And if he doesn't, that Jacob Eason is, that might be, so they play the Titans this week. That's exactly the kind of quarterback the Titans need to go against.
Well, he came in and was awful.
Yeah, second pass was a pick. Yeah.
He sailed one. Wentz is one of those guys, it's like, if you watch football all day with our friend Brad, he's going to spill soda on himself and on the floor, right? It's just the way it's going to go. There's no way that's not happening. And I watch Wentz and it's just like, he's going to fall awkwardly, get hurt, take some... Right. At some point, it's not an accident. You kind of are who you are. Some people are more durable. Like you have, kids in your kids' class and there's that one kid who like breaks his arm and then breaks his toe and then falls off the ladder and gets... Some people are just kind of injury prone or clumsy or whatever. Wentz is like a clumsy quarterback.
I like the Brad analogy a lot.
Thank you.
You just don't want him to spill grape soda on himself when relatives are walking through. Yeah, it can't be an inopportune time is what you're hoping for.
It's like Carson Wentz is hurt. We'll see if he comes back. It's like I'm just not surprised at all. I'm not surprised that he fell awkwardly as he was getting sacked on a dumb play. So. Another one was Carolina looked good, but I'm not sure what to make of that yet. They killed the Saints. It was the classic regression game. They looked good on both sides of the ball. Darnold was fine. I saw him. I mean, his stats were kind of better than if you were actually watching him. He was fine. He wasn't like, I'm not going to be telling my grandkids about him.
He threw downfield. He's thrown downfield with some zip, which he is. I mean, we talked about this. Adam Gase, either way, he should never work again, right? Because it wasn't the Jets, I don't think. Although Zach Wilson, I don't know. That's a whole nother thing we'll get to. But
we're getting to that.
I think Darnold will be all right in that division. I'm curious to see what the Packers do, but the Saints can't be that much better than the Packers, and then the Panthers are that much better than the Saints, right? Like this is. Which games are we throwing out, right? Of the first two? That's what you have to figure out.
Well, the Seahawks killed the Colts last week.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Colts played the Rams almost to a standstill today. And then the Titans got killed by the Cardinals, but then the Titans beat the Seahawks. Now the Seahawks will probably beat the Cardinals.
We don't have enough of a sample.
There's like 20 teams that probably depend.
But we will overreact week three. We'll think we know everything.
One other thing really impressed me this week. We mentioned San Francisco. Oh, the Raiders offense. It's kind of old school 70s. Like they figure out a way twice a game to get Ruggs or Edwards crossing the field full speed with like basically one-on-one and Carr just chucks it.
Ruggs is good.
And it works. Yeah.
Ruggs is damn good. And when they're double teaming Waller, he's that much better. I mean, it's phenomenal with Derek Carr. I mean, how many yards does he have in the last 2 weeks?
Who's chucking it?
600. It's insane.
Sal, no Jacobs. Basically 5.5 days rest. They go back west to east. And we'll talk about... let's talk about him now.
817 yards in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, the Raiders, you called it. You had before the season. You liked them for some reason. I had the Chargers. I like
the Falcons too.
No, but in that division, you had the Raiders. I had the Chargers. I think you might be right with the Raiders. The other thing that impressed me, Roethlisberger is so cooked that it's actually it's fun to know. We have our answer with Roethlisberger. He is a well-done steak that the chef accidentally left in the oven too long and he brought it out. And then now they're like, should we serve this? Or like, we can't. This is well done. Well, right. we should go ask the table. No, they don't want it. The steak is black. They're not interested. They're just done. I don't know what they do. I don't know why they didn't trade for Minshew. I don't know how they didn't plan for it. Like their plan basically for this is if Roethlisberger is done, we'll go to Dwayne Haskins.
Right.
And they have a lot of good skill players all over the place. And they have a quarterback who can't move and who was done a year ago. I don't know what you do.
Well, I was wondering, Juju Smith-Schuster, I have him in a fantasy league or two. And I see that he scored and it's like, oh, he ran it in. Like it's getting that bad. Like, look, Juju, I'm sorry. I know we promised you a bunch of touchdowns. And we say, you're just going to have to take the ball.
Right,
it's gonna have to be in a handoff because we can't guarantee anything along the way. And make a TikTok video out of that. But yeah, right. They don't want him throwing 40, 45, 50 times a game, Roethlisberger. And it always seems like he's up there trying to come back or do something stupid.
He just looks old. It happened to Manning. We saw it happen with Manning. We saw it happen with Breeze last year. Breeze was able to cheat it a little bit with these, like just getting the ball out really fast. Roethlisberger can't do that. And
Najee Harris isn't busting any for 30 yards either, so that doesn't help.
I think the only answer left is maybe cryo chamber for like a half hour. You're only supposed to be in there for like 4 minutes, but maybe just leave them in like Jack Nicholson in The Shining. See if it works. When we come back, I'm going to play a fun game with you. We're going to take a break.
Hey Leute, hier ist Max Giesinger und ich habe mir gerade Harry Potter und das verwunschene Kind angeguckt. Was eine geile Show, könnte ich mir direkt nochmal reinziehen. Sichert euch jetzt Tickets unter harrypottertheater.de.
Bis Sommer 2026. Ein letztes Mal Magie.
Nur noch für kurze Zeit, also husch husch in den Warenkorb mit den Tickets.
We're going to play a game called Who Stayed the Most on Brand? We'll take these one at a time. The Vikings. With yet another soul-crushingly ridiculous, stupid loss that left people cutting, the cameras cutting to the sidelines and the players and coaches just in disbelief.
Right.
This is the number one draft pick every year for losses like the one they had today. Their offense was great. It moved the ball the whole game. Murray kept throwing them picks every time they needed like a momentum turn. And then they actually had the ball at the end. They easily drove down in the field goal range. And the guy scuffed the 37-yarder, pushed it right, and they lose a game they never should have lost.
And it was kind of perfect, right? Because you never really want Arizona, regardless how good they looked last week. You don't want to give points with them at home. Like, that's, you know, you're losing that, right? But You know, the Vikings aren't winning either. Just with what goes on with Coach Zimmer. I mean, I feel bad for him, but I don't know. And Dalvin Cook came to life, right? He had over 130 yards.
He was awesome in that game.
This is just what's going to be with this team, right? We'll never get it. All their hurt defensive players are back, and it doesn't really matter. They'll have guys that shine like Thielen and Jefferson more last year than this, although I guess he caught a touchdown today. But I don't trust that team at all. That's why when everyone went crazy, what was their over under, like 8.5 or 8? I was like, yeah, that's right. They're 7-10, 8-9 team for sure. And now they have to battle to get there.
The best man at my wedding, Jeff Gala, one of my closest friends. I texted him afterwards. He was just trying to be nice. I was like, Nick Vigil, it's kind of your kind of Viking, because he used to love Scott. What the hell was their middle name? Scott Studwell. When we were in high school. He texted me back, I refuse to watch any games except checking my phone occasionally unless it's playoffs or near. It's been paying dividends the last few years. It's just ridiculous. They've literally broken him. He's 52 years old. The Vikings have broken his spirit to the point that he doesn't watch them on Sundays anymore.
It's so
crazy. He's just moved on.
That would be a good documentary, because I have a handful of people in my life who just stopped watching their favorite team. It's just like they'll find out about it at night and they don't even have to see one highlight or anything. But soul crushing is the word. They just can't get over the team.
Well, we'll go through all the 0-2 teams in a second, but that's an 0-2 team that I'm not ready to write off yet, because they can move the ball. They had over 400 yards in week one, even though they lost. And that game today, anytime they needed to move the ball, they actually moved it. Cook had a really good game and took... I watched way more of that game than you did, because you had Cowboys Chargers same time. Cook took a bunch of hits. There were multiple times when it seemed like, oh, here we go, Cook injury. But they can move the ball. I'm not ready to 100% write them off in that division.
You know,
yet,
without looking, how many yards do you think Kyler Murray had rushing? I know he's your guy, so you probably know, because you have him fantasy-wise.
Not many. I would say less than 50.
Yeah, I thought it was like 60, 70. Just by the way, it felt like anytime he took off, he did whatever he wanted, but he threw for 400 yards. That was the story.
Yeah, well, that was my next who stayed the most on brand. I don't know if I'll do it again. The Cliff Kyler gambling roller coaster that you go on with that team. I only needed them to win. I wasn't going to lay the points for all the reasons you mentioned earlier. You know, they're down 20-7. Mm-hmm. And then Kyler, who's just magnificent on certain series, and it's just like he's just makes some of the craziest plays you've seen. All of a sudden, they're winning. Now, all of a sudden, he's scrambling around. He's throwing up for grabs again. Then he looks great again. Cliff doesn't seem to understand time, concept of clock management. They had the ball at the end with a lead, first down, and Kyler runs out of bounds. Minnesota had 3 timeouts left. There's like 2:40 left. Mm-hmm. And Gus and Aqib Talib, who were awesome today. Mm-hmm. But neither of them even were like, wow, that's stupid. You just ran out of bounds. Saved 40 seconds for them. You can't do that. But they do the dumbest shit. And yet it worked today. But I don't know if I can do it with them. I think it's okay to bet them as an underdog, but I don't think you can put them in a tease, lay major points with them. I just would not advise it. It's too stressful.
They're one of the handful, maybe 7 or 8 now that I think about it. Offenses that really fun to watch, but you don't want to have any money on them at all, right? Like every game seems to be that Hail Mary against the Bills last year, right? Except just maybe slightly less dramatic. Although this one like rivals it, really putting the Vikings away.
They love the degree of difficulty. It's like, oh, we're on the 2-yard line. Let's do like this really cool Rondell Moore like sweep thing where he's got to then extend the ball and in the 3, and then the ball gets taken, fumbled, goes out of bounds. But like, just make it easy. You have Kyler Murray. It's almost like they want to protect him and not have him take too many hits. Mm-hmm. Anyway, they stayed on brand for me. I knew from last year, be careful betting on those guys that did it anyway. Carson Wentz is Carson Wentz. We mentioned him. He's just on brand forever. The Jets are in QB hell yet again, so.
I mean, you see all the comparisons, like only Mark Sanchez did this, like only Alex Smith did this, only 3 players had 4 interceptions and 4 completions. Like it's never been back-to-back interceptions, 3 out of 4 passes intercepted. Like, oh, how many different ways can you kill this guy? I jumped on board and made fun of him, but I thought he was the best of the group going into this season.
Interesting.
I really did. I don't know if you count him out. And this is before Romo copied me and said he thought so as well. But I don't know. I mean, you couldn't have, I don't know how impressed you are with the Patriots. What do you even take from that game other than that the Jets are going to go like 2-33 over the 2 years? It's insane.
I went on John Jastrzebski's pod after the game. We talked about it. I thought it was a terrible Patriots win. I thought they actually should have won by way more. I didn't think they played well. And Zach threw them the ball a couple of times. And then they kind of, once they had the lead, it was fine. Harris was really good. But I think the Jets throwing Wilson out there against Belichick and that Pat's D without two receivers, without his left tackle.
Yeah, Becton being, he's the best player on the team.
And JJ was like, they had to, they don't have a backup. And then you ask yourself, well, how the fuck don't they have a backup? But they traded for Shaq Lawson before the start of the season. Why didn't they trade for like Minshew or somebody?
Right.
Like, so they don't have a backup, so they got to throw this guy to the Wolves. And we've seen there's a history of these young quarterbacks in terrible situations who lose their confidence.
Mm-hmm.
It really seemed like he was going to have like 7 interceptions today. He had 4. There was like a quarter and a half left or 2 quarters.
Oh, yeah.
Something like that.
They ended up running 31 times, I think, just to save face. Like, because if the headline is that he throws 6 picks, you're exactly right. Confidence is shot. And I mean, you see these guys, they try to do too much. And especially against a defense that was hungry like the Patriots after losing that first week. So I don't know. He can't be that bad, but this is not a good sign at all for the Jets. I mean, he's a Jet. That's the problem. He's a freaking Jet.
The mistake they made was going in on him in January. And then when the Niners wanted to trade up that 3rd pick and they were offering all that stuff, the Jets should have taken that trade.
Yeah.
That the third team. Who's the 3rd team?
Philly, yeah.
Yeah. That should have been the Jets. The Jets should have been like, we'll take all that stuff.
Yeah.
We'll move backwards and we might get somebody like Fields anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like you're bringing this guy in to fail and they've relived this over and over again. The Jets fans now are hitting that point like my friend Jeff, where it's like, at what point is this worth it?
Right.
Like 15 years of this.
15, yeah. I mean, he looks up and Braxton Berrios is his number one receiver right there. I mean, he had 7 catches.
It's weighed by the Patriots. Pretty brutal. This
can't all be my fault.
More staying on brand. Brady's got 9 touchdown passes.
I know.
And I think, so the record's 55, 17 games, so we get an extra game. They're doing like weird stuff inside the 5 where they never run it, ever. It's always like play action. It's to tight ends. It's to Evans. It's to Godwin. Mm-hmm. It's like he's trying to rack up touchdowns. And
Gronk is good for 2 a game now. It's just stupid.
It feels intentional to me.
Yeah.
I think he's like on a mission this year. It reminds me of the 07 season a little bit when he clearly just wanted to have like this crazy statistical season. This season has a little whiff of it. Also, their running backs aren't that good. I don't think Fournette's looked that good. And they kind of need him to throw around there anyway. But 9 touchdowns in 2 games, Sal.
Yeah, that's 44. They want. Shit. Does he have 9 already? What's his MVP number? Are these out already? Because this is... At some point, it gets ridiculous, and he has to win it, right?
Doesn't the MVP part of that MVP dialogue have to be that he kind of convinced Gronk to come out of retirement? He convinced him to get Antonio Brown. He convinced Godwin to come back.
Yeah,
they didn't really lose any free agents. He's like the guru of the entire team. He's got Alex Guerrero probably involved with different people. I think he's got to be in the conversation.
Well, he's 3rd, so Mahomes and Murray are 5-1, and Brady is 10-1. And people are like, oh, why are you talking about this week too? It's like, well, from a gambling perspective, this is exactly when you have to talk about it, right?
Yes.
This is when you're going to suck out the value of anything. And I like Russell Wilson at 13. He went to 12. I have like 4 guys I bet for MVP.
You can't stop betting the MVP. You're like house with the NBA.
House
had every NBA MVP candidate by the end of last season.
He really did. He had guys that weren't even in the league anymore. I think he had an Olden Polonies for MVP this year, I think. But even Lamar is 16-1 now. I have to get away from this FanDuel page. By the way, I was in Tennessee this weekend. Oh my God. It's so great to be able to bet. I had the FanDuel app. I was going. I put in a bet probably every 3 minutes. I bet the first touchdown scored in every game and like Cup hit for +850. I was like, oh, I got to get rid of this money. I loved it. There's 1,000 different things. I'm not being a shill, but we need to legalize California already. This is so dumb.
Nah, what would California do with that extra revenue?
Ah, Jesus. Yeah,
what would they do with it? What would we like? Make things better here? Come on.
Nah, well,
we fix the roads. We fix the homelessness. Stop. Yeah. What are we gonna do?
It just bums me out. It was so easy.
Well, you look at the Bucks. They're playing the Rams in LA this week.
Mm-hmm.
If they win that, they got the Pats in week four. And then it gets pretty easy because they go Dolphins at Eagles, Bears at Saints, at Washington, home Giants, at Colts, at Falcons, home Bills, home Saints, at Panthers, at Jets, home Panthers. I went from thinking that they had a really tough schedule before the season to that schedule kind of sucks.
Yeah, it's easy. It sucks for if you're rooting against them, you mean. Yeah, I remember trying to look for losses on that schedule. And I'm like, oh, man, I know it's hard to repeat and everything, but how is this not 12-5? At least they're going to win the division.
Well, look at it this way. We always say, like, how many games will they be favored? What will they be favored by? They're going to be favored. Well, we'll get to the Rams-Bucks game in a second. I think the Rams will probably be favored in that. But after that, they might be favored if they're healthy in every game the rest of the year.
Every single one. Yeah.
At Saints week eight, the way from what we've seen the first 2 weeks, they're going to be favored.
Mm-hmm.
At Colts, at Falcons, week 12, week 13, they're going to be favored.
Their other road games? At Carolina, they'll be favored.
At Pats, at Eagles, at Saints, at Washington, at Colts, at Falcons, at Carolina, at the Jets.
Not the Jets.
So,
I don't know.
Yeah. No, so that Brady 5-1, I already have Mahomes 4-1, but I might have to put Brady 5-1 because I'm telling you, he's on
Brady's 10. Brady's 10-1. Mahomes
is 10-1.
Yeah. Mahomes and Murray are.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
10-1?
Yeah. But as soon as anyone hears this podcast, it's going to go down to plus 650.
Well, we'll do it right when we finish the podcast.
Yeah. Slow this down, Kyle.
More state on brand. Gus Johnson and Aqib Talib.
That's one thing. I'm going to have to trust you on this. I didn't have a lot of sound audio in my travels this week.
Kyle, come on the Zoom.
Yeah.
How much did we love Gus and Aqib?
Oh, they were dropping sound bites left and right. I was paying attention so hard.
Anytime Arizona and Tennessee, we had the four TVs. Anytime Arizona and Tennessee were on, we had them on the main TV so we could hear the sound. Like, we never put Chargers Cowboys on the main TV unless it was a commercial or the Seahawks Titans or the Bucks Atlanta. They were really good. And they actually really liked each other. They had good chemistry. They were doing coming out of timeouts with Aqib's vision, these little planned things. And Aqib's just like, I'm just going to be me. I'm not going to try to sound like an announcer. I love that. I thought that it was a huge win for Fox.
I know you like him. I challenge you to put anyone with Gus and make it a bad broadcast. I don't see. I'm trying to think who.
It's true. Gus is
right.
I do love Gus. You're right. I don't know. I don't know why I'm overthinking it.
If you put Kristen Stewart with Gus
with Gus,
it'd still be an A+ team. I think.
Try to think. Who's Jay Leno with Gus? Could Gus save Jay Leno at this point?
Yeah, Leno could interject with his silly cars, and it would still be a great game because Gus.
What's coming on with these 2-point conversions, Gus? All right. The only other on brand was $1 million picks. We won money again. Granted, we barely won money because the Chiefs screwed us, but. We won money again on $1 million picks. So we have not had a losing week.
I'm going to give you credit because I kind of laughed at you here. We had the Jets, Patriots, and the line was 3.5 at open. Now it jumped up to 6, but you guessed 9. And that was even low for what we presented.
I still don't understand why the line. I will say I thought the Jets defense was pretty good. I thought they were fast. There's going to be, the Jets defense will steal a game for them in the next three. Wilson needs to put the lead. Unfortunately, he's playing behind. Mm-hmm. All right. I'm going to give you 4 2-0 teams.
Okay.
And you tell me which one you're buying the most and buying the least. We'll do most first. Raiders, Panthers, Cardinals, Broncos. Which one do you like the most?
Raiders, Panthers, Broncos.
Cardinals, Broncos.
Cardinals. Okay. I don't have the benefit of having everyone's schedule in front of me, but I'll stick with the Raiders being number one. I think they make both big plays on both sides of the ball. I think that offense could be tough to stop. I think they have an upset against the Chiefs in them, probably week 10 or week 11 right in there. I say they're number one.
I'll give you the schedule quick. I'll give you the next 5.
Yeah.
Home Dolphins.
Oh, they should kill them.
They should win that. at Chargers Monday night, home Bears at Broncos, at home for Eagles week 7. So they could be 5-2 coming out of that heading into the bye.
I think that's fair.
And then they have at Giants week 9. But their two Chiefs games are in the second half of the year. They also have the at Browns in week 15 and at Cowboys on a Thursday, that Thanksgiving game.
Is it weird to say I trust the Broncos second? Because they're in the same division. The Chiefs are, like, I don't know that I trust the Cardinals as a, I don't think they'll be like 9-5 at any point, right?
I don't trust the Cardinals. I got Raiders, Broncos, Panthers. We still haven't seen them play a good team yet. Right. So I'd have them last. Cardinals at least can move the ball.
I gotta
say with the Cardinals, they did a nice job if AJ Green can stay healthy. They have four receivers that I think I really like. Because Rondale Moore is a stud. That guy is really, really fun.
I don't think anyone ever expected Kyler Murray to throw for 400 yards. And believe me, the Vikings have playmakers too on the other side of the ball.
All right. Which 0-2 team do you still believe in? Here are the nominees.
Right.
We have 6 0-2 teams. Jets, Giants, Jaguars, Colts, Falcons, Vikings. And I think the number, I heard Ben Solak say this on Friday's Ringer NFL show, you're 90% out of the playoffs if you start at 0-2. One out of every 10 times.
Yeah, but that's before the extra team was in, right? And the extra game. Now we have extra games and extra teams.
Don't bring logic into this, Sal. I'm just telling you the percentages. It's 90%.
Well, we said the Jets. Didn't we kick them out already?
Yeah, the Jets are out.
They're out.
I think we made the right call.
The Giants, that was a ridiculous game to lose, but I didn't see them going to a Jaguar. Jaguars could go a while without winning. I really do think, I don't know. It's just not right just yet. I would say Colts. And then Falcons second.
Oh, no. I would know on the Falcons.
I'm mess with this Falcons team. I can't leave them. I can't do it.
So the case for Indy would be they can block. Defense is pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
They've had some injuries at receivers. So maybe by like week 7, week 8, when they have everybody back, they'll have a little more firepower. I can't believe I'm saying this. Because I do think they're completely cursed. But I think the Vikings are the best of those 6 teams.
Yeah.
From what I saw today, we watched that game pretty close.
All right. It's just so hard to separate like fantasy from what we're seeing, right? Like Vikings, you would have four. You'd gladly take 4 fantasy guys on any of your teams, right?
Well, and, it's weird though. They kind of have a pass rush too. Yeah. But they have a pass rush.
Yeah.
And they can move the ball. Like the thing with them is they can get like a 3rd and 9 or 3rd and 12 if they need it, right? They have like a 3rd and 1, they can get it. Like they can keep the chains moving, which is, you know.
Yeah, I'm looking at their offensive stats and there's nothing to suggest they should have lost. Like Cook went for 131. Cousins wasn't bad at all. 3 touchdowns, no interceptions, 22 for 32. And defensively, like.
How many
like
first downs?
Hendricks, how many first downs to that team?
Yeah.
I don't think they keep those stats. No, our first down, 22 to 21. So Vikings 22, Cardinals 22
first downs. Plus they had like a 70-yard touchdown.
Yeah.
Can I give you some Matt Ryan stats?
Yeah. Jump in there.
Since 2017, since the Super Bowl loss, he's 28-37.
Wow.
Since 2018, so 18, 19, 20, and the 2 games this year, is 18-37.
Mm-hmm.
109 TDs, 47 picks since the Super Bowl loss.
Mm.
It's close to done. There was a play that we were laughing at today when he just sailed it over Ridley's head on like an out. And Ridley did the thing where he stopped and then they had cut the close up and he was just kind of like, really, this fucking guy? Like he just had, I don't think it's going to last long with him. I don't know if they have a backup, but man,
Well, Josh Rosen jumped in there and put together a 0.8 QBR. I mean, he was over
chosen.
Chosen was in there.
Chosen.
He took the last 2 snaps before TB12 took a knee and put him out of their misery. But you have a guy like Kyle Pitts is like, hey, I'm a once in a generation player, and you're making me look like shit here.
Yeah.
He's another one whose stats never add up, Matt Ryan, right? He's always around 46, 47, 4,900 yards. Their defense is always 25th. When I say always, since let's just say since the Patriots, they're between 25th and 31st defensively every year. And that didn't get better today. Although there were two defensive touchdowns, right? The Tampa? Yeah.
Not great.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, Arthur Smith, I had higher hopes. Every time they cut to him on the sideline, it looks like he's trying to catch flies with his mouth. He's just...
Right.
He's got that like deer in the headlights. Does not inspire a lot of confidence. And maybe... I thought he was a really good offensive quarter and it might be not up to the job. Before we guess the lines, the underdog's now 21-10 for the season.
Is that what it is? Yeah.
They were 9-6 this week, including Thursday. And 21-10 for the season. Every year we know this is going to happen and every year...
You're going to get some shitty ones like the Jets in there and everything, but the Raiders was easy. You know, it was a great game, but I love taking the Vikings. There were just some easy ones. Like the Tennessee, you liked it too, right? Getting 6.5, even with the 12th man. I
stayed away. I was afraid of Seattle. I ended up liking the Panthers. I bet on the Panthers.
Yeah.
Because once they had that thing about how the Saints lost half of their coaching staff, I was like, oh man, I'm betting the Panthers.
Right. Yeah. That's
Panthers plus three.
It's weird what matters. Like, yeah, losing seven coordinators, that does matter.
So it seemed like that would matter. All right. Mm. We're going to take a break, come back with guest lines. So you managed to follow football today, even though you were traveling. You had your cousin Katie's wedding.
Yeah.
Which made me feel super old because once upon a time, you're one of the Kimmel show. When I used to hang out during the days when Kimmel was doing his monologue, helping him with that. And Katie would come in on Wednesdays. What was she in like? How many years ago was that?
2003? They had like bunk beds, right? Yeah.
Yeah, they had the bunk beds in there. She was like doing her homework. And now she's a married person.
It's so weird. It was a great wedding and she's very artsy. And so was her husband, Will. And it was a lot of fun. And it's just weird. I think she's the first. I saw her grow up. I was an adult when I saw her at like 2 or 3. You know, I was like, so this is the first of those weddings. So that's, I don't want to get emotional, but it was a lot of fun. But I was in Tennessee, in Nashville, where I should have been watching that Cowboys game. We haven't even mentioned that Cowboys Chargers game.
Well, that's right. Well, let's do it now.
For God's sakes. Yeah. But so instead of being at that game, I may or may not have been at a Dave & Buster's with Clay Travis watching games all day.
Wait, how did you fly back?
I flew back at like right when the Cowboys game ended.
Oh, wow.
Basically, yeah.
Oh, man. You just made it.
Maybe a half hour before. Yeah. Yeah. So, but I was getting everything on the plane. But yeah, you would think that would be like, I would rather watch a football game with Clay Travis and a Dave & Buster's during a pandemic. And that's what I ended up doing. But how about, so I heard it was like 70-30 Cowboys fans. Like I averaged out anyone who was there. I was like, I need to know this. And they're like, yeah, 70-30 Cowboys fans. That sounds about right. But what didn't sound about right is they, like you said, they punted once, one punt between both teams and the under hit by 20 points.
There's this weird thing going on with your team where Pollard is now as good as Zeke.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not like Zeke, I don't think he's bad or anything. It's just you have these two really good running backs now. And
he was fine. He had almost 100 combined, Zeke.
Yeah.
I didn't mind him today. Yeah.
So you just have a ton of firepower because it just seems like anytime you're on offense, it just seems like five guys can make something happen at all times, which was weird because I thought the Chargers defense did a pretty good job in that game. And I think in general, I think they have a good defense. But
Dak only had like 230 around there. And, you know, but Herbert beat him by like 100 yards. I mean, when Herbert throws, God, he's got one of the best cannons I remember
so
in a long time, right? I feel like he could do a ton of damage Mahomes style. He should be putting up 40. And not 17, and certainly not against this defense who've stepped up finally.
I said this on JJ's pod because JJ's a Dolphins fan. If I was a Dolphins fan and they took two over Herbert, I would not be able to sleep at night. Because Herbert, Keenan Allen, I really like, but for the most part, like they can barely block for him the whole thing. And then you watch Miami, who can't really block either, but I think they probably have a better foundation. They have more. Mm-hmm. Young up and coming players, stuff like that. But that's such a tough one. Like Tua got hurt again. I know he got popped and that's not his fault. QBs get hit, but he just seems like he's hurt a lot. And then when I watch him in the game, I'm not exactly impressed.
They were losing that game. They just were. I mean, the Buffalo coming off a loss hung 60 on him last, you know, what was that week 17 or something last year when Miami needed to win to get in. it was about to be a similar
thing. Oh, did we come up with a name for when the same team has the ball
They're
for
never
45
on the
minutes?
Field, whenever you look. No, I don't think we did. Did we get any?
Because that was that Miami game. Miami had the ball for the entire second quarter. Miami had the ball.
Oh.
And they were just in quicksand, kind of sort of going forward and driving, and then but not really. And their defense kept shutting down Buffalo. It was 14-0 forever. Mm. And Brissett had come in for two and he couldn't do anything. And then eventually Buffalo got the third touchdown. That was it. But Buffalo, yet again, not crazy impressive. They got
35. Now that I look at it, like Allen only had 179 passing yards, and
he wasn't that good in that game. They got a Singletary had like a 50-yarder to start the game.
Mm-hmm.
Then Miami had a dumb something happen where all of a sudden it was 14-0, and then Miami had the ball for an hour and couldn't do anything.
Yeah,
so Miami now 17 points in two games total. And they could have taken Justin Herbert. That's pretty tough. But
well,
your team.
I think your team is the second best, at least the second best in the division. I would feel good about that for you. I know you want your quarterback to be a little more advanced than he is, but he may be more advanced than Tua, who might not even be able to stay on the field.
He might have gone against two good, fast, young defenses those first 2 weeks. I want to see him against a shit defense when he has time. Right. The Jets were like in his mug today. It was frustrating. I kept thinking they were going to spread out for him, and it just never happened. But yeah, the your team against the Chargers, I felt like that was a worse loss for the Chargers than it was a good win for the Cowboys. Would you agree with that?
Yeah. I mean, I would have started getting, like, I have this thing where I'm like, all right, well, we're still not losing against the NFC East, and we have the Eagles this week. But, you know, could have, maybe, should have, whatever you want to say, beat Tampa Bay. And if I would have been mad if that was, we had two games that we really could have and should have won. But yeah, it seemed like not a typical Chargers loss, but they could have snatched it away from Dallas easily.
How would you compare McCarthy's coaching to Daniel year one of the Kimmel Show?
I gasped. I don't think Daniel ever made me gasp on a plane. I said, you have got to be kidding me. And everybody turned and looked at me like, what's wrong? And like, no one else is watching this game except me. I'm a sling player or whatever. But how do they, that 9 seconds left, they ran one play with 20 seconds left and ate the timeout. And it's like, all right, 57-yard field goal on the road, shaky kicker. We got this. We're good. It's a miracle they came out of that with a win.
He always looks agitated and put out when they cut to him on the sidelines. Yeah. Like he's been completely surprised by some sort of outcome he didn't expect.
Mm-hmm.
Very strange.
I'll forever be happy Jason Garrett's gone. So this guy's going to have to do a lot, like probably something to my family specifically for me to just like, just go postal on him. But for now, we'll take that win. No thanks.
Well, I thought Washington was going to win that division.
Yeah.
They're not good. The Giants aren't good.
Washington's plan at quarterback? Can't be Taylor Heineke. It just can't.
Also their defense isn't. You were right. Whoever told me on this pod that Washington's defense was smoke and mirrors, I think it was you.
That was me. I'm going to raise my hand.
You're right. Congrats.
They faced not so good quarterbacks last year. And some of those guys are back, but the schedule will get tougher.
Freaking Danny Jones is moving the ball up and down. Right. All right. Week three lines. I won week one. You won week two. I got to admit, I got overconfident in week two. Put no time in it at all. I tried a little harder this week.
I was off on a lot of these, I could tell you already, but there's one disgusting one.
Thursday night, Panthers are playing Houston, and Davis Mills will be your Texans quarterback.
Is that for sure?
Yeah, it looks like it. You know, I mean, as we're taping it, it seems like Tyrod was playing really well in both of those games, and it's a bummer.
I'm pulling hard for him to win comeback player of the year, right? I mean, the doctor's mistake. Like, who's better suited on this team?
Well, you saw how he got his injury this year, this game, right?
I didn't see it. No, I didn't see that one.
That same Chargers doctor ran on the field and stabbed him with the needle again. Yeah.
I don't think that's accurate.
No, you know how Michael Myers came back in Halloween Kills? Same thing. It's a sequel. The doctor's back trying to kill Tyrod Taylor.
I feel like he should get a restraining order at this point. Seriously. It's too much. I did see something crazy with the new this poor new coach. Like, it seems overmatched here. What did he do? What did I send you? Yeah, I just sent it to you.
So Coey, it was 3rd and 15.
Yeah.
they got a 13-yard play that would have made it 4th and 2, right, or there was an offsides and it, they could have made it a 3rd and 10.
Mm-hmm.
He accepted the penalty to make it 4th and 2 at midfield and then punted. And they cut to Stefanski, who was like, wait, what the fuck is going on? Like, he was just completely confused.
No, that's good. We'll take the yards. It'll be better for our punt. We'll push them further back. We don't have a play where we can get 10 yards. 3rd and 10. Now we'll take 4th and 2.
Cully, that team has a pastor running the entire organization, and they have a guy who accepts sport penalties and punts.
I mean, he's 60 and he was never a coordinator. God bless him. But this team has got enough stacked against them.
Jesus. Tough time for Houston sports right now.
Yeah.
All right. I have Panthers favored by 5 in Houston.
We both said 5. It's 7. No one's trusting this Houston team with Davis Mills.
Davis Mills was the guy that the Patriots allegedly
Stanford
were going to take,
guy, right? Yeah.
If Mac didn't fall to them, that was the guy they were allegedly going to take in the 2nd round. I don't know what that means.
It means you got lucky. Yeah.
It's, I mean, it might have been that. Our marquee game for Sunday. I know I sent you Chiefs Chargers for this, but I've changed my mind. I think it's Rams Bucks the more I think about it. I'm more interested in that game.
Wow, so that 4th quarter swayed you. You're not happy with the Chiefs. They got bounced. Yeah.
And plus, like, when I did the Lions, I didn't realize the Chargers were going to lose to the Cowboys. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I got Rams, Bucks. I think this is the last time this year the Bucks are underdogs. I have the Rams by 1.5 at home against the Bucks.
You nailed it. I thought they'd get the full 3, and I thought, like, everyone would be like, oh, that's too high. What we have to know is, I know Brady doesn't have this in his DNA where he reacts like other players, but how much are they looking forward to the New England game right now? Or is he looking past this game is what I'm saying. It would be easy.
I don't think so.
It's too much.
He's in 17-0, 60 touchdown mode. I think he's trying to destroy. Evans kept getting hurt in the game today. I can't tell if he's like Vince Carter or what's going on, but he would limp out. It was like, oh my God, Evans blew out his knee, and then he would be back the next series, and then he'd be pointing again to come out. So I don't know if they're getting him healthy. But with the Rams, Henderson got hurt. Sony Michel finished the game for them. They seem like they're a receiver short, but I'm not sure it matters because Cooper Kupp is now the best receiver since Jerry Rice for some reason. He's completely demolishing everybody.
Stafford loves that guy.
Asked this pod so on Thursday to Craig. On Thursday's pod, I asked this to Craig Horlbeck. If I know he's not the best receiver in the league, but is he 2nd for fantasy?
For fantasy,
yeah. If you could, if all the receivers went back in the pool and you had the 2nd pick, Tyreek is the 1st pick,
right?
Would you take Kupp 2nd or would you take somebody else?
Because
I think I would take Kupp.
I like that guy Schwartz on Cleveland.
Schwartz. <see.
laughs> Yeah, I guess it's Kupp.
The nominees are like Devontae, Diggs, Jefferson.
Yeah, let's see a couple more games at Adams, I think, before we commit to this.
Stafford loves Kupp. And anytime they need a first down, they go to him.
Yeah, for sure.
So for the people listening at home, I assume you're listening. There's only 2 watchable games. There's 5 barely watchable games, and there's a 5-game poopfecta. This is not a good week 3. I don't know why it worked out this way. Maybe there's not a lot of good teams. These 2 watchable games, Patriots home for the Saints, I think is a fun game for a variety of reasons, because the Saints are either, they turned into a pumpkin in week 2, or that was just a bad game. I don't know what, all bets are off with the Saints now. And then with the Patriots, I kind of feel the same way. So I had the Pats by 3. I didn't know what to do with this.
Oh, you love them. Yeah, I know you love them. I thought it would only be 2, but it is 3. People don't believe in Jameis. And you love him, and you're going to bet him like crazy. I know you are on Friday. I'm going to put $750 million on the Pats -3. Schrager.
$10 million picks.
$3,700 million. Schrager, you just sit there and nod. Don't you dare disagree with me. That's what I'm betting on the Pats.
Don't step up my Patriot bet, Schrager. Pats -3.
Yeah, so you get that one too.
And then the other one is Chiefs Chargers in KC. And I am going to knock this down by a half point from what I sent you, just from what we saw in that Chiefs game. I'm going to say Chiefs by 7 against the Chargers.
Wow. I would have gone... Oh, you're a jerk because you'll get... So I said 6 and it's 6.5. So we both get it, but I would have gone up if I changed it at all. What's the data behind them losing 2 in a row? Did they do that last year?
I think it's tough when the other team runs for 8 yards a carry against you for 4 straight quarters.
That's not great.
No sign that is ever going to change with any team that has a good running back.
Right. Well, that'll be a good game. I am actually looking forward to both times those teams match up. That'll be fun.
Everyone is looking forward to that game, except Dolphins fans. Barely watchables. We got 5. We got the Bills at home against Washington. I think I went too low on this. I said Bills by 6. That's probably too low.
Yeah, I went 7. It's 8.5.
Yeah, that's stupid.
But you're right. Before the season, this was probably, a 4.5, 5-point? Everyone was in love with Washington.
Yeah, I'm no longer even in like with Washington.
No.
We'll see with the Bills. Something doesn't look right with them yet, but this also happened to them last year, and then they figured it out. So maybe by November it'll get going. Next one is Titans-Colts. You would have thought this would be in the watchables, but this might be Jacob Eason.
Well, I need to know that because I put a gigantic number on it if it is Jacob Eason. I said 8, and what'd you go with?
I went 3? Low. I said Titans by 3.
They're going to be closer. It's 4.5. There's a line on it already. So do they really just not care if it's Eason or Wentz? Not that Wentz is going to make me excited to take the Colts, but my God, Jacob Eason. I don't know. Does he get a full week of practice? Is a different story.
He was one of those when it just gets really dark for information and stories and people, you watching SportsCenter and they cut to somebody and they're like, I'll tell you, the Colts really like this Jacob Eason. And that's like somebody's segment from live from Indianapolis.
Good for them.
Well, I saw him throw 2 balls today and I did not share their sentiments. I did not like Jacob Eason as much.
Rams didn't even care about getting a first down towards the end. Like, we'll pin them at their 10 with 40 seconds left and there's no way they're going to get in field goal range.
Yeah. Titans, who knows? They might be back. So if we're going to explain like the week 1 overreaction and then the week 2 correction, mm-hmm. The Titans at least have like a fair case for it because they had a whole bunch of COVID stuff.
Right.
You know, they're home, there was heat, they hadn't practiced a lot. And it was just kind of, maybe you throw that week 1 away. I don't know. I got my guard up
Derrick
with them.
Henry. Isn't it all Derrick Henry? Like he had 58 yards rushing the first week. He averaged like 3.5 yards per carry. And then you start buying into the, oh boy. Yeah. Too much mileage. No way he's coming back. And then you have Ryan Tannehill as your quarterback with no Derrick Henry, but no. He's way back.
Another barely watchables. I didn't put this in the poopfecta because I actually think this is watchable in a car crash kind of way. Steelers-Bengals, it's in Pittsburgh. And if Ben sucks in this game in the first quarter, what is the reaction of the fans?
Yeah, they're going to be I'm just surprised because I would think you'd go low with this, but you went very high with this line.
I did. I said Steelers by 8 at home.
I said 6. It's 4.5. So FanDuel thinks it's going to be even a better game than we do.
Well, I think that's an indictment of how bad the Steelers are.
I didn't see how they came back, but I didn't have that Dave and Buster's didn't have the Bengals Bears on, but they were down 20-3 and they had 2 touchdowns. Was to Burrow, to Chase and Higgins. Was that what they did to come back?
I did not see a lot of the Bengals Bears game. That did not make my list, but some rudimentary internet sleuthing said that the Bengals problems persist with being able to protect Burrow. Burrow has not looked that comfortable, all that stuff.
He threw 3 interceptions on 3 straight passes.
Yeah. It's not great.
And everyone got what they wanted with Fields, so he's in now.
That Zach Taylor, if they got killed in that game, I think has to move into first coach fired watch.
Oh yeah, you're right. That was a good head to head for that. We didn't even seize on that early. There were 3 injuries within like 4 minutes. It was like Dalton went out, Baker went out for a minute. Who was the third guy? Oh, and Tua went out. It really happened like within like 6 minutes. And you get to know the backups and like, oh my God, why is he still around?
Why is it Minshew playing? My guy.
Yeah.
Raiders-Dolphins. This is in Vegas. I had the Raiders by 3 against Miami, and I like the Raiders.
Let me find this. Oh, there's a Laker. Yeah, I'm closer. I said 5. It's 4.5.
Okay.
I think they're so much better than Miami.
Here's two red flags. Mm-hmm. One is anytime we've trusted John Gruden in a position like this, it's usually gone badly, right? With this and during this Raiders run.
Yeah.
I think this is a kitchen sink game for the Dolphins because they've scored 17 points in 2 games. I don't know who their quarterback's going to be, but I think there's a lot of goofy stuff from them this game. A lot of double reverses, flea flickers, Jalen Waddle throwing a pass. Yeah. I'm prepared for a lot of weirdness.
You know, we're historians, so we knew like the Raiders give the Steelers a fit. That doesn't even matter how bad the Raiders are, right? In history or where they're playing, right? And remember last year, this Dolphins Raiders game, I think it was like the day after Christmas. Wasn't that a Thursday night game? I think it was a Thursday night game.
That was a good game. Yeah. That was Tua's like probably best game.
Yeah. Dolphins won 26. Was Mariota in that game for a minute?
Yeah.
Yeah. So they might be freaked out by this Dolphins team. Maybe that line is too high.
You might not have seen this, but there was a play when the Raiders got, I think, a touchdown and Carr got hit late.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of a cheap shot and the ref missed it. And it looked like he was actually really hurt.
Really?
But Mariota's hurt too.
Oh, yeah.
And that game was about to go into putt, and then he kind of limped off. But there was this 2-minute run where it was like, oh, he really got hurt. And I was watching it thinking like, wow, that'd be really bad for them if Derek Carr got hurt. That's how well he's playing.
Yeah.
Where, you know, if that had happened even 2 weeks ago, I'd have been like, oh, they're fine. They'll put Mariota in. But now the way Carr's playing, no Mariota.
Can Minshew just be all-time backup quarterback for anyone who needs it?
Like, he just floats around? Yeah, why can't he just be on a 7-day contract?
It'd be tough. I don't know where he starts the Sunday. Is he like right in the middle of the country? Is he in like Nebraska? Like, all right, we need you in Oakland. Oh, no. All right, now go back. All right, the Bears? Okay, the Bears need you now.
Well, what if like they build him a Minshew cruiser, like the Madden cruiser?
Oh, that's good.
And he's just around in the cruiser, like whoever needs a QB, he signs with them for that week. Like, take what Fitzpatrick did, just bring it to another level.
I like it. All-time QB.
The Minshew cruiser, all-time backup QB.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Houston, Tyrod Taylor's out. The Minshew cruiser is headed to Houston. One more barely watchable. Seahawks, Vikings. An incredible must-win for the Vikes.
Mm-hmm.
0-3, I don't know what the percentages are for 0-3, but can't be good. And then the Seahawks coming off a bad loss.
Well, they're back to their one-score nonsense, right? Every game they're in is a one-score. The first one, they took that game against the Colts. They forgot who they were. Went to overtime with the Titans. This is probably one score, too. And I don't know. What did you have? Yeah.
This game's in Minnesota. I had the Seahawks 1.5.
Yeah, you nailed it exactly. I had 2. So you're up. No, it's 5-5 now, including ties. I don't know what to think. I mean, it's an absolute stay away, right?
Yes.
How can you feel any confidence in either of these teams?
Kirk Cousins is the rare quarterback that makes you feel terrible whether you're on him or against him on a bet. Mm-hmm. Right. Against him, he's like kind of scary, right? All of a sudden, he can scramble for 20 yards. And you're like, oh, I forgot he was fast.
Right.
Or he'll throw this beautiful deep ball. Mm-hmm. You bet on him, and you're just nervous the whole time, assuming he's going
to
cut your legs
out. Always a slow start or something, right? You need the fourth quarter to even get back in it.
Yeah. I don't like the look on his face. Yeah. Either way, you lose with Kirk Cousins. Poopfecta, we'll rip through these. Ravens are in Detroit. Now, it's interesting. We don't know if Detroit is slightly better than maybe people realize, which is how I felt about Houston. And I think I would have been right if Taylor didn't get hurt. I think that game was going to continue to be close. I have Ravens by 6 in Detroit. It's probably low coming off a win.
It's a little low. I said 6.5, and it's 7.5.
Yeah.
This is a tough one. Maybe Detroit sneaks up on them. Big emotional win, even though Detroit's coming off a short week.
Ravens dying to be teased.
Yep. For sure.
So if you think the Lions are going to look like shit in that Packers Monday night game, I would tease this Ravens game now.
Smart.
Giants are home. Giants are home for the Falcons.
Uh-huh.
This will be a game that comes down to the last 4 minutes and one of the two quarterbacks will make a terrible play and cost their team the game. I just don't know who. Giants by 3 is my pick.
Yeah, you're right. These games suck. And this is the one I was off by the most, and I should be ashamed of myself. I said Atlanta by 1.5 because I still think Atlanta's good, and I still hate the Giants more than any professional franchise out there. But I let it get the best of me, and I was off 4.5 points. The Giants should be favored by 3 over. I know people saw a lot of good things there. They lost another lineman, though, but they should have won the game. Slayton drops the ball. Jones has a huge run. It's called back on a phantom penalty. Definitely should have won the game. Guy jumps off sides, Lawrence. But I still don't trust him. I mean, how do I trust the Falcons either?
The Falcons went into the season going, we figured out something with Cordarrelle Patterson.
Yeah.
That over the last 15 years, nobody has figured out.
Did you pick him up?
No, Brad did. But you have to change.
I did change your stupid Juwan the West Johnson Coast. Webbers. What do you mean?
Well, Brad has Cordarrelle Patterson eligible at receiver and running back now.
Oh.
If he wants it. Because Patterson's basically playing running back.
Right. Yeah.
And I have Juwan Johnson as a tight end or receiver. I like the multi-position eligibility is fun.
I like that. It's the one nice. Good thing CBS does. Yeah, I had to change
it's literally the one good thing they do other than send sarcastic blurbs to the team owners.
They can go crazy. They can go rogue and make Zuerlein a tight end or something. And then who knows what happens. We're trusting CBS.
Cardinals at the Jags. This has all the makings of everybody getting creamed.
Yeah.
I have the Cardinals favored by 5. It's probably a little higher than that. Nobody has taken the Jags in this game. It's in Jacksonville. And I think they screw over just a wide array of gamblers in this.
Yeah, you might be right. I said 7 and it's 7.5. So when you talk about your teaser, that road teaser of Baltimore over Detroit and Arizona over Jacksonville just looks way too easy to be true.
The Cardinals cannot stop the run at all. Mm. Not even a little. So if the Jags can run the ball at all and get a lead, who knows? I would not put the Cardinals in a tease.
You're right.
Not put,
these games suck. I don't like what the first two you read were good.
Yeah, we're in trouble.
You think you're getting rid of the bad one with Carolina Houston. You think you're getting rid of it, but right. They're all but jumping back at us.
Broncos Jets, another bad one. I have the Broncos by 7.5.
I had 8.5. It's 10.5. They're not playing around with the Jets.
Come on.
Well, this is a good defense. You're not going to score by accident on Denver.
Wait, so you mocked me that I thought the Pats were favored by 9 against the Jets, partially because I knew the Jets sucked.
I apologized. I said I was wrong.
Well, Vegas should apologize to me.
Yeah. Well, they are by making this 10.5.
Broncos, Teddy Bridgewater's looked, I think, really good. Now, can't say the competition's been awesome, but mm-hmm. if you're a Broncos fan, you Drew Lock last year. You have a quarterback now who at least can complete passes to open receivers. That's a bonus.
They're winning games have that they last should year. Win, right?
Yeah.
It's not kind of something that they weren't familiar with in the last few years.
It's like, oh, 3rd and 6, that guy was open, and then our quarterback mm-hmm. threw the football to him, and the guy caught it, and now the chains have moved, and we get three more Yeah.
Yeah, two gloves probably won't win as a 6-point underdog anytime soon, but he'll take care of business against these crap teams, I think.
Yeah, no question. Browns at home. Playing the Bears. I don't know what's going on with the Browns receivers. Odell missed today. Landry got hurt during the game.
Right.
A lot of Peoples Jones and Schwartz. Mm-hmm. And and Mayfield somehow doesn't throw incompletions anymore. And then they can run the ball wherever they want. But this looks like we'll get Fields. This is a nice spot for him. And, you know, I shouldn't have.
I'm going to give you a chance to change this.
I'm going to change this.
Yeah. I'm putting this in. You said 11. Yeah.
No. I'm putting this in the watchables too.
Oh.
Yeah. I apologize. This shouldn't have been in the poopfecta.
Okay.
I have Browns by 11 over.
Yeah. Well, you have an 11-point fair. That's why it's in the poopfecta. I said 5.5. It's 7.5.
Jesus. Do people think the Bears are good?
The Bears get a lot of respect. They just in the last.
I don't even think they have a good defense.
Right.
I'm putting
in
the watchables.
All those guys did all right. All those guys, I think they all had sacks there. Roquan Smith and Roquan Smith had a
touchdown.
Yeah, right. He scored. Khalil Mack, Roquan Smith, they all did well. 4 sacks today.
I'm moving that to the watchables because I want to watch Justin Fields and I'm excited for him. And I think he's going to be a really good pro. And it'll be really fun if he's way better than Zach Wilson and Trey Lance.
Yeah.
Even though he went 10 picks later.
Well, people are getting what they want, right? Like, I mean, I thought, like, keep the kid out against the Rams week one and you know, SoFi, like, or put him in spot, yep. You know, a couple plays here or there. And now throwing him to the Lions. So
Sunday night, 49ers home for the Packers. This good is one. 49ers by three. It's textbook. It's my lock of the week. 49ers by three.
I had three. It's up to 3.5 right now.
Oh, geez.
5, 6, 7, 8.
Is that because of the Diva Aaron Rodgers?
I mean, if you do the transitive property or whatever that is, like, the Packers got killed by the Saints, who look like dog shit today, right? So is it possible the Packers are neck and neck with the Lions tomorrow? Then you are looking at 3.5 or more for San Francisco.
We'll know more tomorrow night.
Right.
But that's a good game. That's another good Sunday night game. And I think the night games this season have been excellent.
There's only the Rams-Bears was not good, right? Everything else was good.
You got to say, even that one was kind of fun for a blowout because Stafford was airing it out and we got to see like this new Rams team. I've enjoyed every day.
It was fine,
game.
But Giants-Washington came down to the wire. Dallas-Tampa came down to the wire. This one, Baltimore-KC came down to it.
Monday night, Cowboys at home for the Eagles.
Yeah.
True or false? If they said Minshew was starting week three, you'd be more nervous.
Oh, I think I would. I don't know. I can't. Hurts might be the quarterback I have the most trouble figuring out.
Me too. I came out of week one thinking he was a star. I came out of week two being like, what the fuck just happened?
Yeah, I was like, oh, what is he? He's making great decisions.
Yeah, I don't know either. Yeah. I have no feel for him at all. I have Cowboys by 3.5.
You nailed it. I don't know. I went high on this. I said 6, only because I think
6.
I know.
Fuck out of here.
That's what I said to you with the Patriots.
6.
They're gonna win that game by 6. They'll see. And speaking of wins,
you beat me.
You lost, sports guy. Yep.
Wow, you have a 2-1 lead after 3 weeks.
I don't think that's ever happened.
All right,
I'll take it.
We're gonna take a break. And then we'll come back and do some Parent Corner. Today's Parent Corner is brought to you by Nissan. The Nissan Pathfinder's intelligent 4x4 can help you return to some legendary off-roading and mudding. Return to rugged in the all-new 2022 Nissan Pathfinder. Learn more at nissanusa.com. All right, Sal, you just spent an entire weekend with your family. You're up first.
All right. Well, you know, I have the 3 kids. I don't think I talk about the middle one a lot, other than, you know, his name is Jack Romo. I named him after Tony Romo, and he decided to turn his back on me and the Cowboys, and he roots for the Steelers and screaming in Dave and Buster's today for the Steelers. And he's just like a mixer. And but he's a quiet mixer. Like, he doesn't like Phil. He's a quirky kid. And, you know, he'll go like the whole day without talking to anyone and then jump out of his room and is like, tell me everything you know about Tone Loc. And then I have to sit there and talk about Tone Loc for about 18 seconds, which is is about everything I know about Tone Loc. So he's quirky. He's quiet. My cousin Jimmy's daughter loves him. Very special. He loves animals and makes him the ring bearer for the wedding. And he's freaking out. He's freaking out. And I was like, listen, don't worry about it. They're going to give you the rings 40 seconds before you have to walk up. And then you're going to walk up and you're going to hand them to someone. And that's going to be that. But the night before, he's like getting chest pains and everything. And like, what are we going to do? Maybe we should call him off. Like, maybe we should tell Jimmy's daughter, like, we shouldn't do this. Just make someone else do it. But then we get there and Don Barris, who's the audience warm-up guy, is officiating. He's getting them married and he's got a wreath, like a flower wreath on his head. And it's like, oh, this is a silly thing, but he's still like, I can see him huffing and puffing. And he finally gets called up after an emotional vows by both the bride and groom. And now it gets serious again. He gets called up and he gets a standing ovation and he starts doing like a dance. It's like pumping his fist. Like it's like Kevin Green after 3 sacks in a row. And he gives the bride and the groom the ring and he like turns off and like flexes and walks back. And like everyone's still applauding for him. And he grabs my wife and he gives her the biggest hug I've ever seen. And she's like looking at me like, what, like, as if he's like going off to war. So I don't know what the hell happened, what got into Jack Romo. It certainly didn't turn him into a Cowboys fan, but good job by him for not, I don't know what was going to happen to those rings in the 8 seconds he had them, had possession of them.
But so he might have turned the corner. This was like, I'm trying to think what quarterback turned the corner this week.
I think so.
This is there's a maturity now. Now he can lead a 2 minute drive.
Josh Allen from year 3 to 4. Josh Allen,
yeah. There you go. It all comes down to those rings.
Yeah.
My son Ben, who's now 5'9", and we've talked about that. You talked about this before about whether you could beat Archie if it actually came down to a fight.
Right. Yeah.
And there's been a couple times when he's kind of tried to do the hockey fight thing where it's like, drop the gloves, let's have a fight in the kitchen. But then he's these big paws and he'll throw these punches and then I'll get mad, but we don't actually fight. Mm-hmm. Today, Kyle came over for football and Ben does the same thing he does with me with Kyle. But Kyle's like, you know, he's lounging on the couch. He's drinking a coffee. He's got Jesse the dog next to him. And Ben comes in, tries to roughhouse. I think Kyle's going to kick his ass like in the next 3 weeks. And he tries to mess with Kyle and Kyle just like, but, and all of a sudden then Ben just comes and sits down next to me. And I'm like, Ben, Kyle's been in actual fights. I don't know if you listened to Life Advice with Priscilla, but there's actual Kyle stories. Like this is not like, stop roughhousing with Kyle. Mm-hmm. So Kyle's now turning into like that Doberman pincher, that 8-year-old Doberman that it's like, no, don't let the kids play with the Doberman. Kyle, is that fair? You're like the 8-year-old Doberman?
I struggle because I want him to be hurt, but I don't like want the parents to be concerned. You know what I mean? Because I feel like I can hurt him more than you would, but right. I don't want to go too far. I'm in your house. It's really hard. I'm trying to maintain. I was just
going to ask you, Kyle, what do you think you could get away with? Because, right, you don't want to piss off the parents, but you want to teach him a lesson. You don't want him jumping on your back when you're not paying attention.
Or like the flying knee to the balls. Like Ben
that's not good either.
Can do some real damage. Or he throws like the punch when you're not looking and all of a sudden you have a dead arm for 10 minutes. So
I think what you have to do, Kyle, is you have to stretch him, basically, right? Because you don't want to, you're not going to punch the kid. You're not going to kick him. You don't want to leave marks. But you got to stretch him a little, right? You grab his arm, put your knee in his back. And
I think
like the wrestlers, like the old time wrestlers in the basement would do, like Vern Gagne and those guys.
Yeah, Kyle, you just gotta get on top of him and just kind of squish him.
Yeah.
Without actually like genuinely hurting him. The thing is, Ben's smart. Like he'll back off. That's he has good people sense with that. So Kyle, I think you have my permission to basically protect yourself. I want you to be protected when you come over.
We're worried about you, Kyle.
I've been straddling the line. I gave him a good leg punch today and I pulled back. So I'll stretch him next time.
Yeah.
So like side of the arm is fair game and maybe like thigh side.
Yeah, I was hitting the thigh. That's what I was looking for.
You don't want to bruise the kid though, but you could put him in double arm bars and he could be in pain for 10, 12 seconds.
Kyle, what height does Ben get to where you officially you start to get worried that it might be even?
Like Jason Goff, I'm full go. I don't care how tall he is. Bring it on.
Well, there you go.
What, Ben? And he's taking headshots on Instagram, right? There's like black and white pictures of him. And he looks, I don't know, he just looks different every 3 weeks, I feel.
I know. Well, that was my wife. And she just snapped this picture of him. I don't know what's going on with him. He's really blossomed. His flag football season starts this week, so I'm sure we'll have some stories. He's playing tight end, free safety, and kick return.
I want to go to one of those games. Well, are they Saturdays or Sundays?
No, it's during the week. It's like
during the week.
Yeah, it's like afternoon. But this is it. This is the last year. The next year, the pads go on. What's Archie's record in the high school?
They're 2-2. They had a big win. They play a ranked team in Southern California. Like I think T.O.'s son is a running back this week. So,
oh my God,
I think they're gonna get slaughtered. But yeah, it'd be fun to watch.
All right, and we'll keep the listeners posted on Kyle versus Ben. Yeah. I think Ben is like plus 750 right now, and if it ever really goes,
is he okay
against Kyle? I don't know because Kyle's always on his back. Like he might be able to really sneak him. Kyle,
well, he's not
going to
knock
adjust.
Kyle out, though, right? What's going to happen?
The right kind of flying elbow might be able to get him.
Like
he'd really have to, It would have to be like a Piper Snuka hit him over the head with a coconut
opens
kind of moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kyle, just be wary. Don't feel like you have this one.
Don't buy him coconuts.
As always, Parent Corner is brought to you by Nissan. The Nissan Pathfinder can tow up to 6,000 pounds. Boats, snowmobiles, or ATVs, hook them up. Bring them along. Return to rugged in the all-new 2022 Nissan Pathfinder. Learn more at NissanUSA.com. Available intelligent 4x4 cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions. Towing capability varies by configuration. See Towing Guide and Nissan Owner's Manual for proper use. What do you have to plug, Sal?
That's it. ExtraPoints.com. All the sports gambling needs be taken care of there. Oh, we have free-to-play games at ExtraPoints.com/arcade, giving away prizes. Really, basically a hat. But it's fun. Check it all out.
Tell Damashek I hope he enjoyed my beating that I gave him in our West Coast.
Oh,
league.
Did you win? You
oh, yeah.
Easily?
Did I
oh,
win?
Good.
Did I
oh,
win?
Good.
I won with
too.
Lot to spare.
Excellent.
All right, Sal. As always, good job by you.
Good job by you, buddy.
All right, that's it for the podcast. It was produced by Kyle Creighton. New rewatchables coming on Monday night. Sean Fantasy and I did Dirty Work, the Norm Macdonald comedy. Almost classic, not a classic, but it's a classic to us. And don't forget about the Ringer's Prestige TV podcast, which is kind of relaunching / rebranding on Monday with me and Amanda Dobbins talking about the morning show. We have a lot more coming on that feed. So check it out, seek it out, look for it. And I will see you on this feed on Tuesday. There's going to be some basketball. There's going to be a reunion of sorts. That's all I'm telling you. I'll see you on Tuesday.